Hello, everyone. Thank you for checking out this special episode of Really Dicey. This is Manny, and I am here with...
Andy Peregrine, still the creative guy for Dune Adventures in the Imperium.
Yes, and today we're going to talk about the... Let me make sure I have the title right. Fall of the Imperium Campaign Sourcebook.
Yes. This is the one that... it's not really a... Something I've been keeping quiet about is one I really wanted to do when we first started the line. I'm very pleased we got to actually do this. So
this is something that's very interesting. Now, how did this project come to be exactly? Because I know sometimes when it comes to the IP, it could be tricky. And in this book, you have like images of the actors that are involved in the new Dune movie. How did this all come about?
Okay, well, it's from two things, really. And two of them are my favorite things about doing this sort of setting, and now I had a certain amount of creative control. It was like, right, I want to do a book like this, because when you've got a setting like Dune or Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or anything like that, one of the things you really want to do is get into all these amazing stuff in the books or the films or the movies, all these incredible things that made you fall in love with it in the first place. But it's also a little difficult because those plots and encounters are all driven by, obviously, the heroes of those stories that you've already seen. You don't want to actually play those guys. You want to play your own characters, but also you want your players to have agency and get involved in things. So what are the purpose of this is to allow your characters to get involved in all the events of Dune, all the bits you love, all the exciting moments and from the books and now the films as well. But have your players involved in where you can meet these characters and get involved with what's going on. It's still very much about the player characters and what they're going to do. And it mostly came from the thing that inspired me to want to do something like this for Dune particularly was Paul's line in, I think it's in the Lynch movie, but it's probably also in the book. I can't remember, where he says to the Emperor, the assembled houses of the Landsrad are above Arrakis watching what we do now. And that always inspired me thinking, well, what if your players are those houses? What is going on up there? What's actually happening out there among the great houses who are now starved of spice, who are angry at the Emperor, who are terrified of the Emperor, who are frightened of Paul? What are they doing? It must be chaos. And as you'll find out, it is. But I wanted to tell that story and get involved in that. And put your players right in the action of what they will have seen in the movie or read in the book, particularly because we're going to get a lot of new people watching the movie and going, oh, what's this Dune thing all about? And now they'll see this and go, oh, I can get involved in that. I know that. That makes sense. And I can be part of that cool stuff I've just seen on the screen in the cinema. So hopefully it's going to appeal on a lot of different levels there.
Now, this book, how much of the source material does it contain? Does it contain all of the first Dune books? Just so people are clear about how much this covers.
Well, we're a mixture. We pick up the story pretty much at the start of the first book when things all start gearing up. So obviously part of this is the fall of House Atreides is one of those parts. You've seen that in the first part of Dune. And then we move away from Arrakis itself into the greater universe and find out what's going on when everyone thinks the dust has settled. They all think the Harkonnens have taken control, House Atreides is gone, it's all over. Yeah, there's some murmurings in the deserts of Arrakis, but that's just the peasants. We're not really listening to them. But then they start noticing some odd things going on, like, you know, the Harkonnen are being a bit cautious about sharing their details of how much spice mining is going. Spice seems to be a bit rarer. There are all kinds of things going on. And as it says in many things, all eyes turn to Arrakis, and that is going to include your player characters. But we take you through all of the events of Paul's ascension and say, so beware, there may be some spoilers in here for the second film, obviously, or if you've not read the books. But we take beyond that into what happens in the aftermath. So it's designed to take your entire campaign through solidly into the realm, the era of Paul Muad'Dib in charge of things. And so as part of that, you have to deal with Fremen legions threatening to destroy your entire planet or that of your friends. There's a lot of tidying up to do at the end. And this is all part of how we've balanced things beforehand, because you as a player may know, oh, the Atreides are going to do well out of this. I'll just stick with them. Well, if you do that, the Emperor isn't going to be very pleased with you when you start talking about how you're still loyal to this dead lost house. Now, it might do you well if you survive to the rise of the Atreides and the return of the Atreides. Yeah, you might be fine, but you might not survive that long if you're going to stick to these guys that everyone thinks is dead and gone by then. So it's there's a lot of things your house is going to have to balance up with what decisions and choices you've made, and depending on who you didn't want to destroy your planet and who was upset with you as time has gone on throughout the adventure. So there's a lot of allies and enemies to be made, and who they are might swap over as time goes on, depending on how you play the cards you've been dealt in this adventure.
So before I talk to you about each section here, which I love that it's not called like a chapter, they're called acts. I love
Yeah.
that. It makes it feel really epic. But before I get into that, I have a question to ask you about like breaking continuity. So sometimes in the past, I'll play like a Star Wars game, and let's say it's happening concurrently to what's happening with A New Hope or Empire Strikes Back. And we have some players who try to sabotage what's happened in canon. They
Yeah,
may
I'm
like
going to
want
destroy the Death Star plans so nobody gets them. Yeah. Yeah.
So is are there things in here in place so that those type of things can be cannot happen? Do we stick to the main story?
Wow. This
Or
is where it, and you're quite right, this is where it gets interesting, because if you put the player characters in amongst all the canonical events, you can't really predict or know what they're going to do. I haven't we haven't put anything into this to make sure that you absolutely can't. If you decide you're going to jump over the table and stab Paul Atreides, I'm good luck to you, frankly. But it's still always up to the player characters what they do. But the focus of each of the adventures is usually very different to what you're going to do with the canon events. Those events are happening around you, but the focus of each adventure is not, can you help Paul to be on the throne? Can you save the Atreides? There are things going on where, for instance, you might be in the midst of the battle going on with the Harkonnen attacking the Atreides. It's not really on the table, the option to just save them, because how could four or five player characters stop this massive invasion that's going on? However, what you can do is see to it, you could be the guys, I mean, for instance, you could be the guys that helped Gurney Halleck escape. Now, he might have escaped anyway, but it's what some of those little bits in the novel where we don't know exactly how they got out in the chaos of battle. A lot of things could have happened. And it was really cool for your players to go, yeah, we know how he got out because we're the ones who got him to those smugglers to help him get out of the battle. And or we told him we saw Paul and Jessica being loaded into an ornithopter, but we don't know what happened afterwards. So there are lots of things where you can interact and get involved in what happened. That does naturally give you the opportunity possibly to shift the canon. That's up to your GMs, how much they're going to let you get away with things and how much. But I mean, it's kind of the fall of the Imperium's going to fall. There's going to be quite a lot of fallout in this adventure. So, in what way you blow up your campaign world is entirely up to you. But I'm not going to get in the way of that. But it's not really about the canon events. They're kind of the background, the storm that's coming through. And it's about how you ride that storm with all the other stuff that's coming at you, things that aren't already in the book. So, a few things and a few things that are.
All right, so Act One, The Gathering Storm. What can you tell us about this section?
Yeah, well, this is, as you might imagine, this is, the storm gathering. So we've divided the book into these four acts to tell the massive story, and each act has three different adventures in them, and all those adventures are separate. You should play them pretty much in the right order. We haven't done it so you can juggle them all about a bit, but within each act, you probably can juggle them about a little bit. And the Gathering Storm is about the fall of the Atreides and the whole unsettling of what's going on. It's all the setup stuff for what happens. It gets your players involved in finding out that something is coming, what's going on, and hopefully things settling down, you think, afterwards. But then as we move into the other acts, new things will happen. And one of the reasons we broke it down into these acts is because we want the GM to be able to expand those acts if they so desire. So you can pick up this adventure and go, right, I'm just going to play through each of the three adventures and each of the four acts. And there we go, that's me done. But at the end of each act, because it's a whole new section of the story, we've given you some more story seeds for, well, in this current atmosphere and of what's going on, there's a few other adventures you might want to play. If the GM wants to invent a few things, if your favorite part is just after the Atreides have fallen and you want to play a few more adventures, maybe you want to pick through the rubble of the residency, maybe you want to help some refugees from the Atreides escape. There's loads of little adventures you can play there. So if the GM wants to, they can expand any of these acts with even more adventures and scenario, depending on how much detail they want to add to the game. So we want to give you a load of freedom to inspire your own stuff into it, but also give you that solid foundation of here's three stories that will help you work your way through that time in the Imperium.
And I can imagine the Fall of House Atreides section must be the most action-packed. Like for me, when I reread the books or when I watch the old Doom movie from the 80s, that you know when that all that's when the scene happens, and I want to get too spoilery in case someone hasn't seen it yet, but that part there is always very tense, and I can imagine the players being tense as well because they know it's coming.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of running and keeping your head down in that part of the adventure. It's there is a part of the way that starts is them going, oh, we think something's gonna, oh, what's going on? So it gets messy. And and that's part of the thing. We want to throw your characters right in the thick of the action for all of these things.
So Act Two, the Muad'Dib, where does the characters go from here?
So
As much as you can share.
the Muad'Dib section is about the time when everyone thinks everything is settled, but it seems that the Harkonnen are hiding something. And this is what I love about Dune. This is adventures in accounting. One of the things your players are sent off to do when Chome thinks, hang on a minute, these figures aren't adding up at all. Because one of the things, and spoiler alert that we've been here, the Harkonnen who have been stockpiling spice for ages are taking a hit with Paul slowing down spice production. And they start going, oh, hang on a minute, we've got to keep putting our own spice supply out there because if the numbers drop, they're going to know something's wrong. But this will be fine because we're going to put these Fremen down and it'll all be okay and we'll just build things up again. Little do they know. But in the meantime, your guys are trying to find their account ledgers to try and find out what the hell is going on and bring some evidence. And when you bring that evidence forward, it's going to put a cat among a lot of pigeons. What is going on? So it's kind of like this is a Star Wars adventure. You'd kind of be the Bothan spies, but you're doing it for secret accountant agents. It's what I love about Dune. It's got a lot of excitement, a lot of heist movie type stuff, a lot of infiltration, and of course going up against the Harkonnen, who may be old enemies of yours because we've whilst we've set this is now part of the canon world of Dune. You may have played Agents of Dune and Masters of Dune and have your characters and other guys in charge of Arrakis, or were, because if they were, this adventure starts with the Emperor saying, it's not you anymore, I'm giving it to the Atreides. And when the Atreides fall, the Harkonnen take it over. So you might be thinking, hang on a minute, it was my Arrakis. What's going on? So we've worked all those things in together. So depend no matter where you come from in your campaign, you can jump into this adventure and follow it through. If you're not running Arrakis, well, that's fine. You do it this way. If you are running Arrakis, you've got a bit of a beef with the Emperor now. So all of those things fit together quite nicely.
Act Three, Fall of the Imperium. Now it's weird asking you these questions about these acts because it's almost like I'm asking you to do a light book review of Dune. For those that again that are just learning about the game, what does this offer?
Oh, well, the
Exactly.
focus of this one is at this point, spice production has stopped. Some people know why, some people know what's going on, and everyone is going crazy. There is pressure on the Emperor, there is pressure on the Harkonnen. And in part of this one, your characters are, you kind of inveigle your way into, as the guys who figured out some stuff, you inveigle your way into the Emperor's court and you kind of become his hatchet men. He asks you to go and do some stuff for him to get involved in what's going on, at which point you can choose, are we going to get involved with the Harkonnen and try and help them out here? Are we going to do what the Emperor's told us to do? Oh, hang on, it looks like there's this Mordib guy. He actually looks like he might have something. Maybe we can help him while we're working for the Emperor. What can we do? But at the same time, everyone is going crazy because there is no, the spice supplies have stopped. And there's no hiding anything anymore. So it's an incredible time. It's one of my favorite parts of that campaign. And of course, you end up with the final part of that act brings you to the big confrontation on Arrakis with the Emperor and Paul and the Fremen legions. That, of course, is all coming out towards the end of the first book and the end of the second movie that's coming out. So that one, of course, if you thought it was going to get, it was quite messy when the House Atreides fell. We're going to have the Emperor falling in this bit, and you're again right in the thick of all of that stuff going on. I don't want to spoil exactly how you get involved, but there's a lot of plots where you are the one standing in the throne room watching this stuff happen and being part of the reason it has happened. So there are things like, have you snuck Fremen in infiltrators in the right places? Have you got them close to the Emperor? What have you been responsible for? Is a big part of this adventure, and again, it's with all the big NPCs. You're there in the room with Alia, the Baron Harkonnen, the Emperor. Everyone's there, so there's a lot to see. And of course, we do add guidance for if your players are on the deck. We don't go through all of the political conversations of Paul taking over because that's really a conversation between a lot of NPCs. But we have broken that down so when the dust settles on all the cool, fighting and investigating and treachery and backstabbing that goes on, that's when the GM can then decide to how many of these set pieces they want to bring in and then what they want to involve to get the players involved in some of the beats and see this stuff actually happen. But they're going to be in place to get involved in anything they want to at the end of this one.
Now, Act 4, War Across a Million Worlds. I think most new fans of Dune may not realize that there's so much more after the first book. They just, oh man, I don't know, there's enough videos to discuss what happens afterwards and all the oh man, all the lines of story and adventure. But coming back to this book, what does this chapter entail exactly?
So this is basically everyone groveling. This is the big grovel. And the dust to settle. This is where, again, spoiler alert, and I don't think anyone's not seen this, that Paul and the Fremen have got control of things, and the Fremen Legion sweep out across the galaxy to bring everyone to heel. We have one of the adventures, which is part of one of the Prelude trilogy books, where there is the fall of Kytane. That's one of the ones you get involved in. So how much of Kytane can you save? Because the Fremen legions are no respecters of art and culture and things, and they will do anything Muad'Dib wants them to do. So it's either a case of do you want to go into some of these rich planets and maybe just make a buck and steal all the valuable stuff, or do you want to try and get the culturally significant items that are just going to get smashed in the waves of these things? But you're also, it's about your house trying to find its place in this new Imperium, one where they may be called upon to speak for or against friendly houses who have been told, oh, they are anathema to Paul's new regime. And you might be sent in to be the ones to tell them the Fremen legions are going to wipe their planet of and sterilize it of all life unless they do as they're told. And in fact, the same thing might come to your house as well if you're not careful, because there is this horrific storm that is just barely held back by the new emperor. That if you say the wrong thing at the wrong time, say, oh, that Muad'Dib, I'm not a fan of his, you could have a legion of Fremen swarming and destroying your entire planet in moments, and everything is on a knife edge. So there is a lot to settle for your house's position, and your home planet, and say, entire planets are going to be at risk in these last few adventures. And again, it's a thing that you can get again, your GM can expand this section as well and put more in, because the whole war across a million worlds is lasts quite a while. There's a good few months before anything is really under control. But of course, this is also a time to start making deals with the Bene Gesserit, the guild, people like that, who still want to see things go back to the way they were, because it's never entirely happily ever after in Dune. It's one of my favorite things about Dune Messiah, which is my favorite book of the series, is that it takes that end and doesn't say, oh, it all finished, he's the emperor, there we go, that's all done. Dune Messiah is about what happens after you think everything is over. And because there's so many people that don't want things to stay as they are, and they want things to go back to how they were and get their old power structures back together and the like. And there are conspiracies everywhere. It is not, despite Paul being quite a ruthless leader in many ways, he's not as in control as he might seem to be, and there's just so many things ready to just crush you at a moment's notice. You know, the Benedict, every, and it's that desperation of people knowing the last days of the Imperium are upon them in very definite ways here. So there's so much to get figured out, but it's essentially, the short version is your player characters deciding, are they siding with the old regime to try and say, no, we're going to support what the allies we've had before, or are you throwing in with the Fremen and Paul, you know, even at the expense of allies that you may have to watch getting, you know, destroyed completely?
And toward the end, I see there's Adventures in the Era of Muad'Dib, which has a lot of different, well, mini categories. Are these just like mini adventures or adventure seeds or descriptions?
Yeah, they are a little bit of both. It seemed a little unfair of me to blow up your campaign and not give you something to work with afterwards. It'd be like saying, you know, coming in, kicking over the sand castle and not even leaving you with a bucket and spade to make another one. So what that chapter is about is to give you a load of more detail about how you're constructing adventures in the era of Muad'Dib. In the, what has changed, what is going on. We've got new things like the faction for the Khazar-Ahtay, the new priesthood that develops, some details about what Paul is like as a ruler. And of course, the one that I kind of only really discovered when I started looking into this, also describing how little has actually changed. Because whilst, you know, whole other shifts in power structures will go on in the next thousands of years of the God Emperor and later books, at the moment it's important to remember that Paul takes over the same seat of the imperial seat as the emperor was before him. He's just got a lot more power in a lot of different ways. So to a certain degree, for some houses, it can be business as usual. So you can still play similar adventures to what you've been playing before. But now the stakes become higher because the guild is, you know, spices a lot harder to come by. The guild isn't so easy to deal with because they are utterly reliant on the spice the emperor gives them. You know, your trade things are all, anything you want to do is going to be considered low priority when it comes to Fremen moving across the universe to make war on people as well. So you might lose out on transport deals that you need. And at the same time, the Bene Gesserit, the guild, they're all trying to politic against Paul, and they're all looking for allies. So you may be able to get something out of them if you're willing to take the risk, because of course, you know, horrible things will happen to you if you're another uncovered conspiracy. But of course, the important thing is this new religion has appeared, and you, how do your player characters feel about this? You may decide that Paul is the new Messiah, that that his religion and his new way that is bringing a lot more peace and prosperity to the lower end of the people of the Imperium, you know, the 90, or, you know, even 95% of the universe's population that have been kept as indentured workers for the most part. Those guys are doing a lot better, or at least think they are under Paul. You know, so is this a new regime you support? Is this something you know, for just mercantile reasons, you want to see the end of Paul? You know, again, what adventures are you going to play in this new era? And a lot of them can be very similar to what you played before, but that chapter is designed to give you all the tools you need to adapt anything you were thinking and moving forward with your own campaign. Because, as I say, it seemed really unfair not to leave you at least something to work with after destroying everything. We don't want anyone to go, right, I played Dune, there we go, put the book down, because we've got books and eras, beyond this to Vega. We barely started on Dune, even with all of this, in a sense, all we've really covered is the first two of Frank Herbert's books, and maybe, a couple of the trilogies of the Brian Herbert Kevin Jansen books. So there's a lot more books to do, a lot more setting to move into. So we didn't want anyone saying, "Oh, that's it, Dune's over now, we finished it." No. There's lots more to come, and this is your, teaser for what else we have in mind, really.
Is there any extras like player options or new tech or anything like that?
Yeah, not so much new tech. We do have, with the new chapter for Adventuring in the New Era, we have, as I said, the Cazarate as a faction. So we have some notes on how you can take on dual faction characters. We've also, of course, got a few more traits and a lot and talents for characters, not just Cazarate characters, but people who find the faith of Muad'Dib, because just the word of this faith is enough to become quite a powerful thing in social challenges. If you can start quoting Muad'Dib at people, it starts, in the social atmosphere at the time, people are going to go, "Oh, well, he quoted Muad'Dib, so yeah, that's fine. Well, we're going to go with that." So there's a load of new talents about that, about the religion and about the faith of that, that you can add in for your characters and get involved in that. So yeah.
Now, being that these are heavily inspired by the first two books, this is more of a editorial question. I'm just curious, how diff well, I don't know if difficult is the right word. How challenging would you say was it to put this campaign together with your team? Was it tricky at times trying not to go out of continuity or break canon? Or anything like that?
Well, it was quite fun. We sail very close to all the canon in this, which has been kind of the fun of it. It's been, what things do we think would be cool? So I mapped out how the campaign plan would go, and then I worked with the writers to get what we needed out of each adventure. And some of them jumped into the, "Oh, this one's all canon," or, "This one's all very much a new stuff, but it's associated to what's going on." So there's a nice little mixture up there with what's going on. But we sailed very close to the wind, and to be honest, I was so pleased with the approvals process, because I did expect a lot of things to go, huge red lines going through. "No, you can't do that. No, you can't change that." But no, they really like what we'd done. They didn't say, "Oh, no, you can't do this," for loads of things. And so it was really nice. I had a lot of freedom to get people really close and get involved in things. But we'd have to really study the books. We had to go back and again, things like, "All right, if we're going to involve the players in this, I need to reread that section and go, right, what exactly happens?" And make sure we didn't cross over anything and go, "Oh, no, that doesn't happen this way in this." If you read the books, your characters will be very much in the thick of things that are just simply not mentioned. You're the paragraphs that can fit in between pages of the books quite easily. And so it was a little tough to do that, but it's not a hardship to go back and read the books again, because they're awesome. So, it just took a little bit more research. We didn't have the same freedoms, but it was also a lot of fun to go back into the book and see what we could bring out of the gaps in between. Which is what a lot of role playing is trying to do with any setting, and it just seems such an amazing opportunity to take people into the book and into all of those events and play through them. It's something I'd always wanted to do with things like, Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or anything, and it's so nice to be able to do this with a setting I love that as well. So yeah.
And the artwork, I think that what catches well catches me, I'm sure it's going to catch a lot of fans as well, is that you're actually using the actors from the movies as part of the artwork, or at least inspired
Well,
by them.
less so. Very much inspired by. We have a very awesome brief for our art, where quite often in these things, either you can only use stuff from the movie or the book, or you cannot use anything from it, and you've got to be completely different. From the very start, we've been in the extraordinarily lucky position of being able to be inspired by the film. So when in the early stages, we got to see a little bit of what the general style of the film would be, which was awesome to see. And we've matched our styles on that. But if we diverge from that, we don't get told this wrong. We matched some of our characters to descriptions in the books and how we fitted them together. We tended to avoid specifically describing particular characters because obviously, if we say this is our version of Baron Harkonnen, that's something they also want to approve and check, and quite rightly so. So we also focused on some of the new characters, but obviously, as you can see from the cover, we've got a lot of things inspired by different people. But some things you might notice some of the details. So if you look at the cover, we've got a woman in an orange gown, very similar to what Jessica wears in blue in the movie. But actually, it's a style we've taken. If you look carefully, it's not the Bene Gesserit symbol; it's the House of Kaz symbol, because that's the lady who rules House of Kaz, Lady Cordelia, I think. And so we've added some of our NPCs we're inspired by. We've got some new characters in there. Some may look the same, and things, but yeah, we've taken our own twists on things, which has been a really good opportunity for us because it gives us an amazing amount of freedom, but also gives us a solid basis with the awesome designs you get from the film. And of course, makes our books recognizable. If you've seen the movie and you see one of the books on the shelves, we'll want people to go, "Oh, that's Dune. I recognize that," rather than go, "That says it's Dune, but it looks different. I don't know what that is." So all those mixtures, it just puts us in the perfect position for art. And yeah, and as you say, as we say this every time we come back to these books, the art is amazing. I wish I could take more credit for it. Rothio finds the most amazing people. Every time we do this, I say this is my favorite cover yet, and then the next book comes out and that's my favorite cover next. It's just amazing, and it's just so I just love to see this stuff come off the page as soon as the art stuff comes in. I really nag them a lot, saying, "I need to see the book. I need to see the things." And no, it's not quite ready yet. You can see it in a bit. But no, I just love to see the art when it comes out, and because the artists just nail it, and our art director is spot on with everything she gets them to do. So it's just lovely to see the product. Yeah.
If you had a character to play in this campaign, what character would you make?
Yeah, so you're asking a forever GM, so I never really think of those things. I think, again, for my characters tend to be the politicians. I would tend to be the character that is, as the Harkonnen legions are charging towards the residency, I'd be one in a cafe drinking wine saying, "Just check out a couple of the guys and I'll find my ornithopter and I'll be off." So it's rather than the fighter types, dice never work for me, so I tend not to play fighters. It just goes horribly wrong. So yeah, someone who'd be very involved in the politics, someone who's going to try and play both ends of, against the middle, and hopefully with the guy that you hate that he survived is usually my character. The one where if it was a film, you'd be going, "That guy's clearly going to die, isn't he? He's got out of too many things," and then he gets to the end and survives, and you just go, "Oh, I hate that guy." That's the character I tend to like to play. They don't usually survive, though, quite often, but yes.
So if I'm curious, I'm assuming you and your team are going to take a rest after putting out this book. It's the amount of detail in this is massive. I know I hate asking you this question. What do you see down 2024 and maybe 2025 when it comes to Dune?
There's plenty yet to do. I mean, there's plenty of eras, there's plenty of adventures, there's of course, there's the whole new era of Muad'Dib that we can investigate and explore. So there's plenty more stuff to do. Obviously, a lot of things we have to look at when the film comes out. We have to see, how things go. If suddenly no one, I mean, I can't believe this happening. If suddenly no one comes to film and everyone's had enough of Dune, then we might not get lucky enough to carry on. But no, I imagine we'll be doing all right for things because this film, hopefully will gain us more supporters, and we want to support those new fans of the setting who have come in and may pick up the game for the first time. So we'll just have to, it's like all things, we have to see how it goes and see what people want to do. We're in the very lucky position now that apart from a, we very much like to do a Bene Gesserit book, but unfortunately the Sisterhood has sort of put that on hold a little bit at the moment because it's a little unsure how that's going to work, which is a little bit of a shame. So that's one of the things we haven't really got round to is have a really in-depth look at the Bene Gesserit. But apart from that, we've covered most of the Imperium. I feel we've got through pretty much everything. So we're in a good place. I feel we've delivered the Imperium. So now it's time to move on to the next eras. And up the ante again, you know.
Any last words before we wrap up our interview?
No, go see the movie. It looks incredible. I can't wait. Check out the book and enjoy playing Dune. It's an incredible setting and we thoroughly enjoy working on it and hope we'll continue. So if you're new to Dune, grab the core book, get involved, and get on the Discord and all the other things because there's a lot of fans out there very eager to help and offer advice to anyone who's a bit unsure or scared about Dune because it always looks like a setting that, and we hear this a lot, that oh, I don't get it. It's political, it's difficult, it's so much stuff, there's so much setting, I don't know where to start. But I would offer that now we've got our core book and our beginner set that we've got with Agents of Dune are great ways to get in and get all of that quite scary setting under control and figure it out. And we've got a legion of customers and fans now on our Discord and our forums who are all too happy to help out new people say, what the hell do I do with this? And they're all too happy to help out and join in the conversation. So, you know, get involved in the whole Dune game and hopefully we've got something for everyone here.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about The Fall of the Imperium, part of the Dune Adventures in the Imperium role-playing game from Modiphius. To our viewers, thank you for watching. Stay safe out there, and I hope you enjoy the new movie. Take care, everyone.